WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Thursday, May 1, 2017. We've got a great hour of sports talk in store for all of you throughout the next 60 minutes of your work week. Well, today is Current Sports. We will talk about, and really briefly, I won't spend much time on this, folks, but last night's NBA Finals Eastern Conference matchup, NBA Playoffs Eastern Conference Finals matchup between the Cleveland Cavaliers and, of course, the Boston Celtics. Very ho-hum, just like the majority of this year's NBA Playoffs have been. We'll touch on that. Also, a former Michigan State men's basketball player who is having quite the career now in the National Basketball Association. He actually went on the air, Adrian Wojnarowski's The Vertical podcast this week and talked about how much love he has for Tom Izzo. Find out who that player is. And I have a few points I want to make with what this player had to say concerning his relationship with Tom Izzo. Also, the Michigan State football non-conference schedule for this year, next year, and the year after that, all the way up until 2020, has been set. Find out who the Spartans will be playing and whether or not you are excited about a few matchups on that list. We will also chat NHL playoffs with Current Sports summer intern Jacob Herbert. He is a huge hockey fan. He'll join us around the 1:30 mark to talk about what in the world happened last night when it came to the Senators and Penguins. The Senators just bringing it to Sidney Crosby and company. And then on the back end of the show, it is Thursday. So you guys know we love to hop into our Current Sports time machine to take a look at exactly what happened on this particular date in sports history. It is Throwback Thursday, a loaded Throwback Thursday for you. And we will get to a conversation that we started on yesterday's Current Sports radio show. That being Tom Brady's wife, Giselle, coming out and saying that Tom Brady had concussions last season, which was not on any New England Patriots medical report throughout the season. All of that and more. If you want to be a part of our airwaves, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/Current Sports. You can weigh in there. If you leave us a comment there, I will read it live here on our airwaves. I see a few of you are already engaging in that forum. And you can even tweet us at WKAR _sports or at Al Martin WKAR. Without further ado, you guys know what's next. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners. And we start with day three of the Greater Lansing Area Softball Classic, continuing last night at Rainey Park. The championship game is now set for Friday, thanks to a no-hitter from Eaton Rapids sophomore pitcher Grace Leto. Or I believe she's a freshman. Can we double-check on that? I believe Grace is a freshman. I could be wrong with that. But the Greyhounds earned themselves a spot in the championship game Friday with a 1-0 win over Weberville. Now, the lone run for Eden Rapids came in the top of the seventh when Mackenzie Anderson led off with a triple and would later score on a wild pitch. Game two of the Classic was not as close as the first contest. The undefeated Grand Ledge Comets, moving to 25-0, took care of business against Charlotte in a 6-0 dub. Kenzie Trierweiler got it going early when she reached on an error and would later come around to score. Trierweiler then came through with a 2-run single in the top of the second to extend the lead 3-0. The Comets would add 3 more runs thanks to a RBI single from Lindsey Goodman and also Emily Songer. The Comets improved to 25 and a donut, as I mentioned, on the season with the impressive win. That should be a fun fun game tomorrow. And again, keep it locked to Current Sports on Facebook.com/Current Sports as we will have coverage from the Softball Classic Championship game. And yes, Grace Leto is a frosh. Pretty impressive stuff from Grace. Wow. All right. The Michigan State softball team had an impressive victory of their own last night as they battled on in the National Invitational Softball Classic. It took a 10-run sixth inning rally from the Spartans to obtain the victory. Junior Leah Forrester continued on her hot streak, going 3-of-4 from the dish with two RBIs. Mackenzie Long also went 3-of-4 and scored twice. Both runs came in that sixth frame. Some other notable performances came from sophomore Caitlin Evelyn and junior Bridget Rainey. Evelyn was 2-for-4 on the day with an RBI, while Rainey was dominant from the circle, only allowing two hits in 4.1 innings of work. All right, MSU baseball. The Michigan State U of M rivalry will have another installment on the diamond today as the Spartans and Wolverines face off right here in the friendly confines of East Lansing, Michigan. The two teams met once already this season, and the Spartan fans might want to turn the volume down for this one, because get this, the Wolverines smacked the Spartans with a 12-4 victory out in A Square. So the Spartans looking for revenge later on this afternoon. The Spartans come into this game fresh off a 7-to-a-donut win over Central on Tuesday, while Michigan has lost, well, I should say has won its last four games in a row. First pitch set for 4 o'clock in that one, and we will have Current Sports intern Jacob Herbert shooting a few highlights of that one. You can catch that later on this evening at Facebook.com/Current Sports. MSU football has announced its non-conference schedule through the year 2020. In 2018, the Spartans will begin Big Ten play early with two open Saturdays between a road game at ASU, Arizona State University, on September 8th, and a home game against Central Michigan University on September 29th. In 2019, all three non-conference games will be at home, as the Spartans will welcome Tulsa, Western Michigan, and Arizona State to Spartan Stadium. And it's being reported that Western actually will receive $1 million from that matchup. How about that, right? Finally, in 2020, the first game of the season is an open date, with the Spartans' first scheduled game taking place on September 12th at BYU. In other football news, junior corner for Michigan State, Tyson Smith, he tweeted out this morning that he suffered a stroke last year. In the tweet, Smith wrote, quote, "I'm supposed to be in a wheelchair after that stroke last year. Doctors say I'm blessed to be able to walk, talk, and run," end quote. Wow, what a story that is. Smith played in 8 games for the Spartans in 2016, making 4 starts. The last of those starts came November 5th at Illinois. Wishing Smith well. Did not know that information. All right, Michigan State men's golf completed play at the Washington Regional yesterday, finishing 11th at 44 over par. Junior Michael Sharp, he was sharp. He was the top Spartan in all 3 rounds, ending the final round tied for 15th with a 2 over 215. The junior got better with each round and finished the tournament with 11 birdies and 34 pars. Sharp's third round, 70, was the lowest for a Spartan at the NCAA Regional and tied his 4th lowest round on the season. This is the Spartans' 2nd straight season advancing to the NCAA Regionals after playing in the Stillwater Regional in Oklahoma last year. After weeks of testing the NBA draft waters, grad transfer Jerrion Simmons has decided to withdraw from the NBA draft and head to Ann Arbor this fall. Now, the 6'1", 184-pound point guard announced his intentions to transfer to Michigan for his final season in late April, but declared for the draft on March 27th without an agent to pursue his NBA options. Now, under NCAA transfer rules, Simmons will be eligible to play immediately for the 2017-18 campaign and will help fill the void left by the departure of Derek Walton Jr., who hopes to have his name called in this year's NBA draft. Tyler Collins homered twice last night as the Detroit Tigers squeaked past the Baltimore Orioles in a 5-4 dub. Collins broke out of a 0-for-30 slump in the second inning when he blasted a solo shot to center in the second inning. Talk about a slump, right? Then in the fifth, he launched another long ball that gave the Tigers a one-run lead, which they would hold on to. Michael Fulmer started on the mound for Detroit. Fulmer lasted seven innings, allowing four runs on 10 hits and striking out four. Alex Wilson and Justin Wilson handled the eighth and ninth. So the Wilsons came in to save the day and secure the win. The series is set to wrap up today. Right now, first pitch happening as we speak at 1:10 p.m. with a struggling Jordan Zimmermann. Jay-Z looking to get back into a groove, looking to get his groove back. I like that, right? Dylan Bundy will be on the hill for the O's. We will keep you updated on that game throughout this hour. And last but not least, according to the Vertical's Adrian Wojnarowski, former Detroit Pistons star Chauncey Billups is being considered to run basketball operations for the Atlanta Hawks. Woj wrote, quote, "Atlanta is considering a number of candidates, including Cleveland GM Joe Griffin, Houston Vice President of Basketball Operations Gerson Rosas, and New York Knicks Director of Player Personnel Mark Hughes," sources said. Atlanta is also planning to discuss the GM opening with television analyst and former players Chauncey Billups, Brent Berry, along with Mr. Big Shot, former Pistons GM Joe Dumars is also being considered for the job. So we'll play the waiting game when it comes to that opening. But two Pistons in the running to possibly run the Atlanta Hawks. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to be a part of the show, you know that number. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/currentsports. Tweet us at WKAR_sports or at Al Martin WKAR. Let's start the show.
Stay in your lane.
I'm just curious.
I don't even worry about her over there.
So she's a reporter. Her job is to probe.
She can report to whoever she wants behind her.
I'm talking to you, Colin. Well, what is your problem with me?
Hey, my problem is you are a hater.
Why?
I would never wear a big baller shirt. But
no,
good.
I didn't
don't
say
even
that.
Talk to me. But I heard you say I'm not even wearing.
I said that I wouldn't wear something that
it
as
says
a woman.
Big baller. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
With all due respect, you're a great reporter, just not reporting on me. And going back to Whitlock, I don't think he can comment on anything but snacks.
Now, that's a little harsh.
It's going to be harsh because he want to be harsh
so
on me.
So you disrespect
guess what?
Women gonna, and people for their
no,
weight?
No, that's what you say. I didn't say nothing about no
No,
weight.
You just said that to me.
Like I told her, I'm not even worried about you right now. Keeping your lane.
Can you look
like
me
I
in
said,
the eye?
She can say what she wants. She's trying to put it. I never disrespect women. But I tell you what.
You did
if
on
you
the
act,
show today.
If you act like that, guess what? Something's coming to you.
Oh.
And it's okay.
Do you think...
Are you threatening me?
Oh, see how she tried to turn the words. I would never threaten you.
You said something's coming to me.
I don't know what it is. I'm not a psychic.
Oh, boy. Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Did you get a chance to see that highly talked about interaction as Mr. LeVar Ball, father of Lonzo Ball, who is expected to either go one or two in this year's upcoming NBA draft. LeVar is continuing his publicity campaign for the Big Baller brand, going on multiple television shows and radio shows to pub how good his son Lonzo is at the game of basketball and to pub his son's $200 flip-flops and $500 basketball shoes, $900 if you would like those autographed. But I tell you what, yesterday watching that interaction on The Herd on Fox Sports with Colin Cowherd, and that interaction that he had with contributor to that show, Kristen Leahy of Fox Sports, who I think, Christine Leahy. Christine does a fabulous job, by the way. I love listening to her every single day. But watching that interaction yesterday between those two, wow. And since that interaction, LeVar has been getting a ton of flack for it. And you can see why, right? LeVar crossed the line. He truly did. Finally, right? And I knew it was coming because, you know, he's such a big personality. And that's the reason why ESPN, Fox Sports, and other radio shows and national news outlets have decided to have LeVar Ball on their respective airwaves is because he's a big personality, right? Kind of reminds me of a Don King or a Kim Kardashian. They just have big personalities and they're entertaining to listen to or watch. That is the only reason LeVar Ball is getting this much play on national television and radio shows. So, Colin Cowherd has indulged, of course, in the LeVar Ball craziness and had him on his show yesterday yet again. And LeVar started off in typical LeVar Ball fashion, right? Pubbing the Big Baller brand and being very adamant that his son deserves to be the top pick or one of the top picks in the NBA draft, right? His son should only play for the LA Lakers. Typical, right? Wasn't surprised there. But as I was listening to that, and then he had that interaction with Christine Leahy, in which Christine was just being a journalist. It was a fair question. How many shoes have you sold? LeVar took it as you're coming at me. You're coming at my ego. You're a hater, right? And engaged in a very offensive banter with Christine, would not even look her in the eye. It came off as very rude, as very sexist. It basically, the vibe that I got when LeVar Ball said, stay in your lane, and didn't even look at her and said, I'm not even going to give you eye contact. Such lack of respect. It was basically saying, stay in the kitchen. That's what I heard when LeVar Ball did that. And then he takes a personal jab at John Whitlock of Fox Sports and insults those who have weight problems, right? Says the only thing that John Whitlock is an expert at is Jason Whitlock. Thank you, Isaac. Jason Whitlock. Yeah, as you see, I'm not a big fan of Whitlock. I can't stand watching Whitlock on the air. But anyway, Jason Whitlock, excuse me. Only thing that you're an expert at is eating snacks. Like, come on, dude. Like, and I really thought that at that point, Colin was going to boot LeVar off. But, and I thought Colin did the right thing here. And they have since, I mean, this thing has gone viral. You should see how many views it has on YouTube and how many views it has on The Herd's Twitter page. It's crazy. But they had a discussion with Colin. I saw Chris Broussard was a part of the panel, as well as Christine and Jason. They all sat up and discussed the interaction, and you know, you look at it, and first off, the reason why Colin decided not to boot LeVar off when he made those statements is because Christine, she held it down. As you heard in that snippet, I mean, Christine came right back at him and said, look, you're disrespecting women. Well, I'm just asking you a fair question here. How many shoes did you sell, or have you sold? And he took it personal. Christine held it down. And I'm glad that Colin did not jump in and kick LeVar off, because Christine just gave it to him. He didn't feel the need to, because Christine was already firing back, and I loved it. So, but the question I have here is, why in the world, and I get it, why in the world do these national radio outlets, do these national TV outlets continue to give this dude a platform to speak on? Well, it's clickbait, right? I mean, heck, I'm leading my show with it right now. People are talking about it. And giving this dude that kind of platform on a national scale is doing nothing to educate or inform our audience. But that's what I believe most media has dwindled down to. right? So I really hope I don't see this dude on any more TV shows or radio shows, because he is really becoming a waste of airtime now. And the number one guy that I think about when looking at this now is the number one guy I've been thinking about since LeVar has made his first, since he did make his first controversial statements, and that being Lonzo Ball. How this will affect his draft stock and how this will affect him once he does enter the NBA. It is going to be a media parade wherever Lonzo gets drafted to. And every single game is going to be talked about now, and his father is going to be a part of the conversation. It is going to be a fiasco. Moving on from that, later on this hour, to give you guys a preview of the rest of the show, we will invite current sports summer intern Jacob Herbert to the show to talk about the NHL playoffs, because frankly, I don't want to spend much time or any time really on the NBA playoffs until we see the Cleveland Cavaliers go at it against the Golden State Warriors. It is becoming so ho-hum. It is sad. I'm curious to know how long our listeners out there, if you did tune in to last night's Cleveland Cavaliers-Boston Celtics game, how long did you last night? That's my big question. How long did you sit on your couch and watch that game on TNT last night? Because from Jump Street, it was just the Cleveland Cavaliers show. I went until halftime, and I couldn't deal with it anymore, and I grabbed the remote and turned on Empire. Couldn't watch it anymore. I'd rather watch Taraji P. Henson and Terrence Howard do their thing for an hour, right, than watch that game. So that's what I did. I went up until halftime and then caught the stats after that game. But LeBron and the Cavs, I mean, playing in the Eastern Conference, I mean, I had some sort of hope. I want to give a big shout-out to my man David DeMarco, better known as Mad Dog here in the area, a good friend of mine in the industry. He had me on his show earlier this week, and we talked about the NBA playoffs and how excited he basically measured my excitement for this year's NBA playoffs, right? And I said, look, Mad Dog, I mean, it's been boring. I can't think of any other word to describe this year's NBA playoffs. We are all just playing the waiting game right now. We are all wishing right now we had a fast forward button so that we can just watch the NBA finals, because we all know what's going to happen. It's inevitable now, especially when you look at the Western Conference and Kawhi Leonard going out with that ankle injury, which, by the way, I don't know if you guys saw this, but there are a few San Antonio fans who have actually decided to file a lawsuit against Zaza Pachulia. This is a real thing. I could not believe it when I saw it. They actually wanted to file a restraining order against Kawhi Leonard. The judge denied that. It is a real thing, I kid you not. But, you know, with Kawhi going down, and we all saw how that game two went earlier this week, right? The NBA playoffs are boring. No one wants to watch this. And, you know, discussing LeBron James for just a brief moment here, before I bring up this rant about a certain MSU men's basketball player who went on a podcast and had some interesting things to say about Tom Izzo. I'll get to that in just a minute. But a quick point I want to make about the legacy of LeBron James. I mean, again, LeBron James is making this look so easy right now. There is no competition for the Cleveland Cavaliers in the NBA's Eastern Conference. And, you know, I started to have this interesting conversation last night with a homie of mine. You know, we were talking about Michael Jordan's legacy and, you know, the whole LeBron and, you know, LeBron making the statement, I'm chasing the ghost of Michael Jordan, right? And this is an interesting point that we brought up last night. You know, the haters of LeBron James, I won't even call them haters, those who criticize LeBron James in comparison to the GOAT, Michael Jordan, and those like me that make the statement that the ship has already sailed when discussing whether or not LeBron James, when his career is said and done, if he has a shot at being looked at as the greatest basketball player of all time. The reason, one of the biggest reasons we make that statement is because of the road to the top. Now, what do I mean by that, you ask? Well, I'll explain it. When it comes to LeBron James, and when you evaluate, especially his career right now, LeBron James has never really had that arch rival, right? Or competition that you looked at and said, wow. Other than right now, probably the Golden State Warriors. I mean, that was remarkable what he did last year. coming back down 3-1. Unbelievable. One of the greatest performances we've ever seen in NBA history. But as far as LeBron James's competition in the league, it pales in comparison to Michael Jordan's. If you look at Mike Jordan in the 90s, right, when he was dominating the league, won 6 straight NBA finals. Well, I should say 6 rings in general. I mean, he took the break to go play baseball for a second, right? Came back and won 3 more. When you look at the road for Mike throughout the NBA playoffs, I mean, this is a man who had to go through big names, Hall of Fame names, guys who you can argue are on the Mount Rushmore of basketball, especially when you discuss Magic Johnson, right? He won his first NBA championship having to top Magic Johnson with the LA Lakers. But you look at some of the names that did not win a ring due to Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls. Magic, he had to go through the Bad Boys Pistons with Isaiah Thomas, Joe Dumars. Those teams were loaded. How about the glove and Gary Payton? How about a Sean Kemp, who was one of the best ballers to ever do it at the time before he fell off the tracks, right? How about Charles Barkley, who's one of the greatest forwards to ever play the game? How about John Stockton and Karl Malone? One of the best tandems to ever play together. I mean, I could go on and on and on. How about the New York Knicks? Patrick Ewing and company, right? New York, they used to constantly push the Chicago Bulls to the brink, and Jordan would have to pull something out the hat. When you evaluate the road that Michael took to the top, and you evaluate the resume of the people that he beat throughout his career, it pales in comparison to that of LeBron James. And it's not LeBron's fault. There's just no competition in the NBA's Eastern Conference. It's easy. I mean, LeBron James has played, 9 games now in, 20-something days? That's crazy. Just sweeping his way, making it look like, you know, you're going through the field, lollipops and daisies. Wake me up when we see the Cavs play the Warriors, right? Whereas for Michael, what added to his legacy are the Hall of Famers that he beat along the way to those 6 rings. For LeBron, he's making it look so easy that it kind of dilutes the legacy a bit. It really does, right? I mean, for instance, to dwindle it down to the job force, right? When you apply for a job, and let's say you get that job, and let's say your employer tells you, oh, boy, man, you beat out 200 applicants. We chose you, right? You beat out 200 applicants, and you're that guy to get that position? That feels a lot better than being the only dude to apply for that job, and you get that job, right? You didn't have much competition. So it doesn't feel as good. You know what I mean? So, and you look at the whole finals record with LeBron. Yeah, I mean, he's probably going to go for now his 7th straight NBA finals trip, which is remarkable. Not taking anything away from LeBron James, but of course the fact that he lost a few times. That does hurt as well, in my estimation. But, you know, LeBron, it's so easy now, and the dynamic of the league is so different than what it was back in the day. I mean, LeBron knocked off so many Hall of Famers that it was admirable to watch him go through the NBA playoffs because he was playing legit competition. It turns my stomach when I'm watching the NBA playoffs now, and I just see the Warriors dominating left and right and the Cavs dominating left and right. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break right now. When I come back, I want to get to an interesting chat that a former MSU men's basketball player had with Adrian Wojnarowski of the Vertical Podcast. He's a great NBA writer, Adrian is. And I find the comments that this particular player made about his relationship with Tom Izzo to be compelling on so many levels. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. WKAR's Current Time. Your host, Al Martin. Again, we are encouraging you all to weigh in, call in, 515-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Weigh in there and even tweet us at Al Martin WKAR or at WKAR underscore sports. We're getting a lot of traction right now via Facebook. Read a few of these comments before I go on this this brief rant. Yeah, I'm ranting today. I'm getting a lot off my chest today, folks. right now, looking at our Facebook page, we've got my frat brother, VDOT, weighing in. Says, hey, let's go, Al. I love Current Sports. We appreciate your support, VDOT. Love you, dude. I believe it's VDOT's birthday today, too. So I want to give a big shout out to VDOT Davis. Happy birthday, brother. Also, our dear friend Remy of 96.5 FM. He has been weighing in throughout the week, actually. We appreciate you listening, Remy. He says, whoever drafts Lonzo, Travs LeVar. I like that. That's a really, really good comment there. And also Ben Grimes, he chimes in and says, well, Ben, you know, I love Ben because Ben always sends, if you were to go to our Facebook page right now, Ben, he always sends a Charles Dickens novel filled with a ton of sports opinions. So I have to, like, pick and choose what comments I want to read, because if I read the whole thing, we'll be here for the next 5 minutes, right, reading. But I'll read the NBA comment that he has. I'm looking forward to a Golden State-Cleveland Cavaliers matchup in the NBA Finals for the third consecutive year. LaVar Ball is full of it. He is full of hot air. The way that he talked in the interview was way out of line. I get it that his son is Lonzo. He is a great basketball player. But let's be real. He is not better than any of the legends that have ever played the game. So you can't compare him to those legends. Thank you, Ben, for that. And also Remy chiming in on my whole LeBron James and Michael Jordan rant. Remy says, I'm sorry, the decision, the trade. So he's bringing up, and again, that's another thing that people always bring up. That decision is going to always haunt LeBron James as well, because he hit the easy button. He hit the easy button. I hate to say it, but linking up in an already easy East, he hit the easy button twice. I mean, he didn't need to do it. I know that's just something that's always going to be brought up as well. So I want to get to this, though, because I find this story really compelling. And I thought it was a great interview from Adrian Wojnarowski of the Vertical podcast. He covers the NBA, of course. And a former MSU men's basketball player by the name of Gary Harris. You guys remember Gary Harris, right? He's not too far removed from East Lansing. Gary Harris just finished up his third season in the NBA. Had a great year. Great year. He's getting better and better by the year. It's remarkable when you compare his rookie campaign to this past season. He's put in the work and is starting to show. And I want to briefly talk about playing for Tom Izzo, right? Because Tom Izzo isn't the easiest coach to play for, depending on how you look at things. Tom Izzo, as we all know, here in Sparty Land, he is a coach that is going to get in your face and challenge you mentally and emotionally. You got to have thick skin. And let's be real here. For a lot of young players that don't, you see a few things that happen. Usually careers fall by the wayside or transfers ensue. We've seen it time after time after time. Players that just can't deal with the in-your-face emotional side of playing for Tom Izzo. But I look at it a few ways here. You know, if Tom Izzo was yelling at you and pushing you, it means that he sees potential just waiting to blossom. It's a reason why he's yelling at you. But, you know, you know how this generation is. You know how millennials are, right? A lot of entitlement left and right. But let's take Gary Harris, for example. You know, Gary Harris, I mean, a fabulous player. You know, if you look at Gary Harris's high school career, you know, as a senior, actually, at Hamilton Southeastern High School out in Fishers, Indiana, back in 2012, Harris averaged 25 points, 7 boards, 4 steals a game. Actually led his Royals to a 22-3 record, advancing to the Class 4A sectional final. He finished his high school career with a school record, 1,540 points. And it was remarkable because he was rated as actually among the top players in the nation by ESPN U100. He was actually number 11 in the nation as a senior. According to Scout.com, he was number 16, and Rivals.com had him as the 25th best player in the nation in his class. He was also ranked among the nation's top shooting guards by ESPN U100. He was the number 2 shooting guard, according to ESPN U, in the entire nation. Scout.com had him number 4 in shooting guards, and Rivals.com had him number 7. And I didn't even know this. Harris is also an outstanding football player at Hamilton SC. Played wide receiver his sophomore and junior and senior years. Won 3 league championships while also adding a sectional championship as a senior. Great athlete, great player. He had the world at his feet as a high school player, right? With a resume like that, and taking in consideration just how entitled most of today's millennial generation is, Gary Harris, you know, Gary Harris responding negatively to the coaching style of Tom Izzo, I could have seen that for sure. But the 2012 Indiana Mr. Basketball, he's just not built that way, right? I love Gary because throughout my time covering him as a young stud for the MSU men's basketball team, you saw Harris soak in the harsh criticism and get better throughout his freshman campaign as a Spartan. He actually won the Big Ten Freshman Player of the Year Award, becoming the first Spartan to do that dating back to 1986. He left after his sophomore year, became the 19th overall pick by the Chicago Bulls back in 2014, a pick that was traded to the Denver Nuggets. So how did his career go, right? Well, as a rookie, he averaged about, well, let's go to the Summer League first. In the Summer League, he averaged about 18 points per game, had a subpar rookie season as the regular season ensued. His highest scoring game was just 13 points as a rook in the NBA. That's a feat he accomplished just twice throughout the entire season against the Indiana Pacers and the Los Angeles Clippers. But he got better. Played in the Summer League again that following year. Trained. Worked out. And in 2015-16, Harris actually became a starter. Started in 76 games in his sophomore campaign in the NBA. Was just one of 7 players to average more than 12 points, shoot 47% from the field, 35% from three-point land, and 81% from the charity stripe. And actually, during the 2016 offseason, he was so good that he became a part of the USA Men's Select Team, a team that is selected to train with the USA Basketball Men's National Team in preparation for the 2016 Olympics out in Rio de Janeiro. Harris was chosen this week to become the representative for the Denver Nuggets at this week's draft lottery in Brooklyn, New York. He was picked by GM Tim Connelly to do so. Harris spoke with Adrian Wojnarowski of the Vertical Podcast, and I want to read a quick excerpt. This is coming from MLive.com. Brendan Quinn doing a great job in sort of summarizing that conversation. And I want to read, just bear with me here, because I find this to be so compelling on a lot of levels when it comes to playing for Tom Izzo and the relationship that players have with Tom once they leave East Lansing, Michigan. Harris recounted a game during his sophomore year when he was languished through a poor showing, and Izzo was riding him, screaming, picking him apart. Harris naturally grew frustrated. Harris said this, quote, "I was at the point where I was mad at myself," he remembered. "I knew I was playing badly. Like, he didn't need to keep doing that. And I just snapped in the huddle. Everyone was like, yo, chill, chill, chill. But I blacked out and snapped. Just fed up with everything." Harris said that he and Izzo exchange pleasantries. And I like how Brendan does this. He says, pleasantries that start with F and end with you. After the game, which MSU won, Harris packed his things and left the arena before Izzo could get to him. 5 minutes later, Izzo called him and said, as Harris recalled, quote, "Really? You're just going to leave like that?" Harris thought Izzo was going to levy a punishment, extra free throw shooting, extra running, Instead, Izzo was happy with him. Of course he was, right? The conversation ended with Izzo telling Harris, quote, "It's about damn time you showed some emotion," end quote. It was then that Harris began to understand how to play for the Hall of Fame coach. Those lessons have translated into the league. Quote, "He's going to challenge you, and you can challenge him back, but you better be right. You can't just use all your bullets. You got to know when to go back at him. You can't go back at him every single time. He's not going to let that happen. You can pick and choose when you go at him. At the end of the day, he just wants to win. As long as winning is the most important thing for you, that's what it's all about. Because when it comes down to it, there won't be anyone that goes to bat for you more than Izzo," end quote. Message being here, and preach on, Gary Harris. If you are willing to strap on your bootstraps, take the criticism, work your butt off, and stand your ground from time to time, Tom Izzo will make you a great basketball player. However, many are called or yelled at. Fewer respond and rise. Congratulations, Gary Harris. I'm looking forward to seeing you throughout your NBA career, young man. He's doing a great job. Let's hit our final break. When we come back, we will chat with Jacob Herbert, current sports summer intern. We'll talk about the the NHL playoffs. I'm done talking about the NBA playoffs. My goodness. And we'll have Throwback Thursday for you. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. We have been talking about a lot on today's show. NBA playoffs, Gary Harris, and his comments concerning his relationship with Tom Izzo, which is a very cool relationship. Again, it's so cool to watch these players, after they leave East Lansing, go on to play in the NBA, play overseas, not play at all. They all still have such a very close bond with Tom Izzo. I love it. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call if you want to be a part of the show. You can also weigh in via social media. We have a lot of action right now on our Facebook feed, facebook.com/currentsports. Ben Grimes chimes in and says, "I love Gary Harris when he was at Michigan State. He was such a classy player and continues to be that way in the NBA with the Denver Nuggets. He and several others wore number 5 at Michigan State, and I have a number 5 Michigan State basketball jersey." Very cool stuff there. And also Ben chimed in on the whole LeBron James situation. "Until LeBron has won more than 6 championships, you can't compare him to Michael Jordan. And until he wins back-to-back three-peats, you can't compare him to Michael Jordan. Jordan is the best there is, the best there was, and the best that there will ever be. Jordan is the greatest of all time." All right, preach on. Preach on, Ben. You're not preaching to me. You must be preaching to other listeners. As well as Isaac Constance behind the glass, we haven't heard from this entire hour. Isaac, are you steaming over there?
Nah, there's something on my tongue, actually. It's some salt, I think. It got through the glass because, Al, I think you're mad because LeBron James is quietly putting together a playoff streak that Jordan never paralleled.
Who is stat-wise. LeBron playing, Isaac?
Let's go.
Who in the heck is LeBron James playing?
LeBron James has had better finals matchups. It's easy to look back on the career of Jordan and say, oh, he beat Drexler. He beat Buck Williams with the Portland Trailblazers. And you know that I've done my research. I was watching those games last night. LeBron James, not catch up. I've been watching those for a while. But nonetheless, LeBron James, in the Eastern Conference playoffs themselves, yes, he's had an easier road. I won't contest you with that whatsoever.
Easy.
Because
you base this on, what,
but
4 or 5 games or 6
time,
games in the NBA Finals?
You're saying
the road,
that Supersonics. The Supersonics were an all-time team. Excuse
Gary
you.
Payton,
no,
that
the
was
Oklahoma
a loaded
City
team,
Thunder
oh,
were an all-time team when they had Russell Westbrook.
Happen.
And Kevin Durant. So I don't want to go too much, but LeBron James is putting together a playoff streak right now statistically and in terms of individual talent that Jordan just hasn't. That was shown last night once again
Indiana
when he dominated.
Pacers,
he's shooting about 10%
Celtics,
higher than your boy Michael
he's playing
Jordan.
No one.
But
Isaac,
LeBron
that is my point.
Has done it in the finals now 2 years in
Isaac,
a row. He'll
are,
do it 3 years in a row in the
off
finals
off
right
off
now,
of one
too.
One series. You're basing it off
I'm basing
of one
it off
series.
A few, in fact.
Sorry, the road that LeBron James has had and
but
most of his NBA Finals roads has been so easy. He's well rested. It's like he didn't even do any work.
That one series I'm basing it off of, though, he's been to, what is it now, 7 times in a row?
And how many times
that's
has he lost,
a lot of times.
By the way?
He's lost 4 times.
Yeah,
and Jordan
you.
Never had to
Jordan
play
never
half
lost.
The talent. Jordan lost
okay.
in round 2, which we've been over, in 6 games. Plus, Jordan lost before that to Magic Johnson. You said he beat Magic Johnson in a finals, his first finals, I believe, in
91.
Terms of the win. Yes,
91.
Correct. Magic Johnson was about 32, had knee injuries.
Oh, stop.
He wasn't half the player
Magic
he used to be.
Still
you're talking
a
about
beast.
The Supersonics. Sean Kemp's a great dunker. Congrats. Al, it's just not comparable. The talent they've played in the finals, the one you like a lot. I'm sorry, Ben, but if we're talking about rings, if we're talking
and
about
we
6,
ignore,
2 in a row, 3 in a row, then Russell
has a win. Do we just ignore, Isaac, that LeBron James, and again, we got to make this quick. We're short on time, but do we just ignore that LeBron James played on the top level of the NBA Finals and did not even show up in the... He didn't even enter... I'm still looking for LeBron James
no, we don't.
When he played the Dallas
but
Mavericks.
But that's why he has to
when
compensate
the
for it.
Mavericks,
that's what he's
this,
doing
you,
right
you
now.
Can't, that's history.
You can compensate
for
it. Just like Jordan compensated for not getting to the finals
stop.
For
I'm
so long in his
career.
I'm not
even going to go there with you, dude. The dude scored 8 points in the NBA Finals game against the Dallas Mavericks at one point, and they lost that series. So
better
stop
to make
it.
The finals than
Jordan,
not to.
You could always... Jordan always showed up. That's,
if he made the finals, that is.
517-3. 55 WKAR 517-355-9527. Let's stop talking about these boring NBA. The NBA playoffs have been
I
so
can agree with that.
Boring.
Yes.
And LeBron is like, this is like child's play for him. He's in the backyard
he's
playing against
good.
5 and 6 years olds. The entire Cleveland Cavaliers team is. I mean,
no,
not even
not.
Just LeBron
okay.
James. Kyrie had his way yesterday. They had nobody to slow him down.
Kyrie was
you
pretty good.
At,
yeah.
You look at J.R. Smith. He was getting a few buckets here.
J.R. Smith,
dude,
you're reaching.
LeBron James went against Kelly Olynyk and Al Horford guarding him. Like, come on, dude. Like, stop it. Just stop it. It's embarrassing watching LeBron James play. I feel
he's
embarrassed
just too good.
For
I agree.
The Boston Celtics. Stop it, dude. Let's talk about the NHL playoffs now.
I'll tell you what, though. That was some entertaining.
Yeah,
you guys want to keep going. I'm enjoying listening
no,
to that.
No, because now I want to talk about a much more entertaining topic, that being the NHL playoffs. Actually, after I watched Empire, I tuned on ESPN SportsCenter last night and caught the highlights of last night's Senators and Penguins game. Now, Jacob, I know you were downtown Detroit watching the Tigers play. By the way, how was that? I mean, the Tigers. What do you make of this Tigers team? Before I dive into this, seeing as though you were there last night, Jacob.
I don't know what to make of this Tigers team. I feel like it's the same thing. On paper, the talent, I mean, in terms of the batters, in terms of the hitting, the talent's there. You know, starting pitching is there with a few exceptions. Zimmerman's still trying to find his way, but you know, JV, Fulmer, you know, Matt Boyd and Daniel Norris have shown, you know, their strides. They're still young, they're figuring it out, but the bullpen, you know,
the same song we've been singing
for the past 10 years. Yeah. I mean, yeah. K-Rod, Sanchez have just I don't know what's going on. Something's got to happen.
Do you think that K-Rod will eventually work himself back into that role? Because right now you got Justin Wilson, Alex Wilson coming in out of the bullpen and holding things down. I don't know if K-Rod can work himself back into that groove. It's a long MLB season we're talking about, though, right?
Right. I mean, it's a long season. He has blown a couple of saves, but we're still in May. It's still early on. Still got a couple more months to go. I think he can, just because he's a veteran. He's been around the league for a while. But I think that if I'm Brad Ausmus, his leash is going to be incredibly short. I mean, if he goes into one start and one close and you know, puts a few on or whatever, I'm yanking him immediately, because Alex Wilson and Justin Wilson, to his credit, has rebounded. He's struggled a lot.
Right.
And he's kind of grown into that closer role.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, Justin Wilson can, or Alex Wilson, either of the Wilson guys can can be that closer as you close out the season. But I do think K-Rod can work his way back into that.
I think eventually he will.
Yeah.
I don't know when that's going to be, but we all know that there's going to be continue to be hurdles that ensue when it comes to the Tigers bullpen. And I think that will allow maybe a gap for K-Rod to come in and hold it down. All right, the NHL playoffs. We watched last night as Ottawa now has a 2-1 series lead. And, you know, it shocked me just how the game began as well, watching the highlights. I mean, at the end of the day, it was a 5-1 win against Pittsburgh in that game 3 of the Eastern Conference Final. And the Senators lead the best of 7 series, 2-1. Game 4 on Friday. Sidney Crosby, he did score for Pittsburgh. You got the long goal that the Penguins had last night. How do you foresee that series panning out now with Ottawa getting the lead?
I think this series kind of matches up with going back to the NBA playoffs, this Cavs-Celtics series. Everyone obviously expects the Cavs to take care of the Celtics. And honestly, that's kind of what I expect, you know, this series to go. The Penguins, you know, they're the veterans. They've got a lot, you know, talent from top to bottom. Mm-hmm. They've been here before. They were just here last year. They won the Stanley Cup, you know, against the Ottawa Senators team who, to my knowledge, hasn't been this deep in the playoffs in quite some time.
Right.
They're kind of the newer team. And I expected the Penguins to take care of the Senators. Maybe Ottawa gets a game or two.
Right.
Last night was I'm still shaking my head trying to figure out exactly what happened.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to figure out as well, because, you know, you look at what point in that game, 3 goals in a span of 2 minutes and 18 seconds, right? The fastest the Senators have scored 3 in the playoffs in their history, in the entire history of the club, right? So eventually, though, you think that the cream will eventually rise to the top, and you see the Penguins getting back to the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, I think this is kind of just one of those fluke games. I mean, Marc-Andre Fleury, to his credit, has kind of carried the team on his back thus far. And, you know, last night, obviously, struggled, giving up 4 goals on only 9 shots.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Penguins will bounce back, definitely. I think the Senators, but at the same time, the Senators could get some momentum. They're at home. Game 4 is going to be at home again.
Right.
They're coming off they know they can beat this Penguins team. They just did so 5-1. But I do think Pittsburgh will bounce back, and I think they'll get back to the finals.
As you mentioned, Jacob, Game 4 of the Eastern Conference Finals at Canadian Tire Center on Friday. That will be an 8 p.m. puck drop. On the other side, Nashville, the Predators, with a 2-1 series lead over the Anaheim Ducks. Is this run from Nashville a bit shocking to you, Jacob?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
They're the Cinderella, right?
Yeah. I mean, the first round, I didn't expect them to get past Chicago at all. In fact, I kind of thought that the Blackhawks would be the ones sweeping the Predators. But, I mean, Nashville, much like Pittsburgh did last year, they're getting hot at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
As a hockey fan, you kind of like to see these newer teams. I mean, you know, the Penguins, the Blackhawks, the Capitals, you know, they're usually in the thick of things every single year. So it's nice to see these new teams, you know, with the Senators and the Predators kind of, you know, get hot at the right time, and who knows, hopefully maybe one of them can get to the final.
You'll never see that in the NBA. That's
no.
The thing. That's why you and I had this conversation. We were at day 2 of the softball classic. We were just kind of sitting back and discussing the NHL playoffs and, you know, the parity that's in the NHL playoffs. I mean, I feel like every year I'm talking about at least one team that is having an improbable run come postseason time. And, you know, I had to ask you now, with Nashville actually leading this series against Anaheim, what are the chances that we may see them on that Stanley Cup stage?
I think the chances are pretty great. Like I said, they're getting hot at the right time. And Anaheim is, you know, kind of that veteran team, much like Pittsburgh. They're usually, you know, around this time of year every single season. But Nashville's getting hot at the right time. They've got talent. They've got the goaltender in Pekka Rinne. The guy's like, you know, 6-something. He's a pretty big dude, and he's been playing out of his mind for them. And Predators definitely have a very good chance to get to the finals, and it would be good for hockey, you know, that parity like you mentioned.
For sure. Looking forward to checking that one out. Again, the NHL playoffs, you can catch Anaheim and Nashville tonight at 8 p.m. All right, well, we have about 4 minutes left in the show, and it's Thursday, and thank you, Jacob, so much.
Thank you.
Thursday. We love to hop into our current sports time machine to take a look at exactly what happened on this particular date in sports history. We call it Throwback Thursday.
But the Detroit Pistons have just shocked the Los Angeles Lakers.
Wing, there's a drive to left. That one is long.
Eisenman, back over his stick. Into the slot for Brown. Shoots. Yes. And there it goes. You never know when to expect it. Darren McCarty said before.
All right, it is May 18th. So what exactly happened on May 18th in sports history? Well, all the way back, dating back to 1880, that's a long, long, long time ago, the 6th Kentucky Derby. George Lewis aboard Fonzo, love that name, wins in 2 minutes and 37 seconds. And, of course, the Preakness Stakes, those get underway this weekend. Looking forward to that. I believe Always Dreaming is, yes, the favorite. Always Dreaming, the winner of this year's Kentucky Derby. In 1897, William Joyce of the New York Giants set a record when he hit four triples in one game. In 1933, the first Major League All-Star Game was announced. It was to be played on July 6th at Comiskey Park as part of the Chicago World's Fair. In 1942, New York ended night baseball games for the duration of World War II. So that's sports and politics colliding there. In 1956, Mickey Mantle hit a home run from both sides of the plate for the third time. Mickey, one of the greats to ever do it. In 1997, during the glory years for a man named Tiger Eldrick Woods, he wins the Byron Nelson Golf Classic. Oh, we miss you, Ty. We miss you. In 2000, Mark McGwire of the St. Louis Cardinals, he passed Mickey Mantle. So how about that? There's a nice connection there. He passed Mickey on the home run career list. He ended the game with 539. So on this day, Mickey hits a home run from both sides of the plate for the third time. And on this day back in 2000, Mark McGwire passes Mantle on the home run career list. In 2008, two events in Quebec City, Quebec, Canada. The final game of the Men's World Hockey Tournament is held. Russia beats Canada 5-4 in OT for the gold medal. And also in 2008, on that same day, the Pittsburgh Penguins beat state NHL rivals Philadelphia Flyers 6-0 in Game 5 to advance to the Stanley Cup. Well, that does it for this edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll be back at it same time, same place, right here on WKAR AM 870. 94.5 FM. Take care. Have a great afternoon and be easy, people.